Hello, welcome back to the PR Essentials Summit. We are talking today about measuring your KPIs and how to measure, monitor, and maximize your public relations programs, communications programs, marketing programs into 2024. Things are changing fast, so it's important to get a little radar on how to measure, and this is something clients ask us all the time.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast, the only podcast giving you actionable skills and advice you need to execute a strategic PR program. Warning, what you hear next may lead to brand awareness and increased sales and customer exposure. Now here's your host, Ringini Joshua.
Hello and welcome to the PR Essentials Summit series. This is our third year running with the PR Essentials Summit, where we talk to experts about what happened in 2023 and what we foresee for future trends in different industries, including social media, SEO, obviously PR, media relations, journalism, content development. And so I hope you guys enjoy this series as we kick off the new year and get ready to build proactive strategies to make your communications programs better. And as always, make sure you email me if you have any questions, Ringini@thesilvertelegram.com. Enjoy the series. So I brought in today Richard Benson from, co-founder and or founder of Release. We actually use Release as a platform and our clients love it because it's such a beautiful reporting tool. Also has some great metrics. But yeah, I wanted to kind of have that conversation about what PR people are measuring today and what we might expect in the coming year and just, you know, how to really quantify PR, I guess, the everlasting question.
It's age old, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Richard, why don't you give us a quick introduction about how kind of Released was put together, what your background is a little bit.
Sure. Of course. Thanks very much for inviting me to join Summit. Obviously delighted to be here. Yeah, just briefly, I was in PR myself for about 6 years before starting Released. I worked in an agency and then I worked kind of as a contractor for in-house teams, but I came from a technology background. So it was quite clear that this particular industry, let me say, did not embrace new technologies maybe as quickly as others. So there was lots of opportunity for change. And actually the first version of Release was an online press kit tool, because that was a particular problem I was having at my agency. But because it is essentially a flexible tool for showcasing PR content, actually the credit for its current iteration, which is as a reporting tool, goes to our clients, our early clients who started using it for that purpose. And we kind of looked at that and went, oh, that's a much better idea than what we had, because agencies all around the world and in-house teams have to do reporting. We all know the problems with reporting with traditional formats. We've all created 250, 300 page documents. I was speaking to the founder of an agency today who just sent off a 300 page document. So it's still going on. So really our mission for the last, has been for the last 8 years or so, has been to help non-technical PR people showcase not just coverage, all of the varied work that modern PRs do in a visual and engaging way. And what's been happening over the more recent years is that there are so many great sources of data that you can use to augment that coverage in a quick, easy way. Other tools now veering towards being much more of an evaluation tool as well. And that's where we're kind of headed in the future, actually.
Yeah, we were actually just having this conversation in another session about trying to get away from justifying our existence, which is what we do a lot, to really creating integrated approach to evaluating how PR is supporting and integrated within all the other departments as well, like marketing or sales. And, you know, as well as anybody else, that the tracking is very, very difficult. So coverage has actually typically been our traditional area of measurement. What coverage, how many people saw it? And then, you know, Released uses similar webs to kind of track the metrics. What other metrics are you seeing that, of course, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of metrics. What other metrics are you seeing that people care about?
So I think that there's, if you take a step back, we get a lot of PRs coming to us asking about certain measurement approaches and techniques and metrics. So we have quite a good broad view of what the market is asking. And I think some of it is achievable and some of it's not achievable. And most people listening probably know what's what. So I think obviously on the achievable end now, I mean, things like estimating coverage level views, something we've had for 2 or 3 years now and it's been really popular. Yeah. Also, other achievable things are, you know, putting online coverage into the system and immediately seeing how it's being shared and to what extent and where. But I think that is a big step forward versus 10, 15 years ago, because our view is that if coverage is being shared, that's a really good proxy for its pop. It's kind of how relevant and how much of a hit it was where it was placed. So that stuff is now achievable and available to all PR people. See, where things get a bit more challenging is around the whole impact and outcome side of things, if you refer back to our mates framework, which is where you need to demonstrate a tangible return on investment, for want of a better word. Yeah. And it's really hard. And it's really not something that it can be easily automated because it's so nuanced. And, you know, one thing is if you've done PR in isolation and have a really good relationship with the client and have access to Google Analytics.
And have access, yeah.
Yeah. And to the sales team, and there's goodwill between everyone, then it is possible to say, look what we've done here. This has made a measurable impact.
A lot of this.
Yeah, it is a lot of this. And that's why it's so rare. We had an example the other day with an agency who looks after a brand in the UK. It's like a charity fundraising brand. And they did that. They did a rare thing where they launched the brand purely on PR, did no other marketing activity, and had £300,000 worth of new business with donations purely due to that activity. And I said to the person, that's one of the only times in the last few years where I've actually had direct evidence. So that stuff is achievable, but it's obviously much, much more difficult. So yeah, broadly speaking, I think, yeah, it depends on how you approach evaluation and what your expectations are. Some of it is achievable, some of it's much harder.
What do you think, how do you think, I mean, you interact with a lot of PR agencies, and again, this is a conversation I just had in the last session, which was about PR trends and how it's trending. How do you see PR shifting in the coming years, I guess?
Yeah.
A lot of what we're talking about is with AI, with content development, and also the shifting landscape of how important the media really is. Like, a lot of people are less and less media is important. So how do you start quantifying these different activities when the coverage is not as big of a deal anymore?
I don't know. I would push back and say, you know, he was saying that the media coverage isn't that valuable anymore, because if you compare it to other industries, like let's take online display advertising, right? But this is often used by PR people as an example, go, look, they can track the whole sale, the whole funnel. Firstly, you very rarely can track the sales funnel. So for example, we run Google ads, okay? And Google ads will tell us, hey, look, you spent this much, you got this many clicks, this many people signed up for demos. We can track that back to Salesforce and go, okay, well, we got, you know, 8 customers from that. But that's not accurate, because a lot of those people will have seen somewhere else, searched for us, and Google's just swept up to kind of credit for that. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, like, as a kind of company owner, or someone who's trying to build a brand, the thing with PR is once you get a piece of coverage that lives forever online, the value of that is kind of very hard to calculate in a good way. Whereas if I pay for an ad, yeah, I can track it, but it's gone
in a week,
the minute it's switched off.
Month or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So I would push back a bit on this concept that PR coverage isn't as valuable as it once was. It might be harder to come by, but I think it's actually more valuable than it's ever been because of the way that people do research into products and services before they buy them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How has like that social element you were talking about, visibility a little bit before, How does that social element play into, obviously social and media are not the same thing, but you were talking about the shares and sharing and, you know, getting your content kind of pushed out into different avenues through different vehicles, right? How is that social sharing, that social aspect of the website, the web, I guess, playing into the metrics?
So I think the way that we calculate things is that we have a good coverage views metric. It's broken down actually into a couple of things. So firstly, we estimate how many people saw a particular piece of coverage on a website. However, I think what not enough people are talking about is the fact that people are seeing that coverage in other places. So for example, let's say you get a piece of coverage, I don't know, the Guardian or the BBC or, you know, an American outlet or a Canadian, whatever. So if that article has been shared, what does that mean? It means that that piece of coverage is being shared other places where other people are going to see it. So what we've tried to do is we've estimated not only how many people are seeing a piece of coverage on a website, but also as they scroll through their social feeds, which I haven't seen that on any other platform or had anyone talking about the fact that coverage lives on in other platforms.
Right.
So I think that's how social media kind of enhances more traditional online coverage, for example. And then you've got the other side of things, which is, you know, just paying influencers to talk about your brand, which is another thing that PRs have grabbed hold of and seen to own as well, which is a really good extension of the work. So I think it's only served to benefit the community. Yeah. I mean, when I'll say that I can't remember the last time I looked at an agency website where they didn't say to their social media experts, whether that's paid or earned, they completely grabbed it, the industry, and owned it.
We actually talked about that, and it was like there was a period of time where social media, all the platforms were coming out, and content was, that little content nugget was there, and PR agencies were like, oh shoot, we have to grab this now. Like this is a piece of content we can own, we can create. It's not that, you know, that's what we do anyway. We might as well create an additional narrative as we grab that social media piece. Now we're talking about the content development from a thought leadership standpoint and content submissions on websites and things like that. So we're grabbing now that. So I feel like we were trying to figure out how do we bridge that gap of brands understanding that public relations as a practice has always been a storytelling platform. And so like content development is not that far of a distance from traditional PR. And so that's the kind of the new thing that we're not new thing that we're grabbing onto as another piece of earned media coverage, that content submission.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, I think we've seen that the PR industry has been very adept moving on as much as it can. Anything new that's developed, we'll have that. And that's reflected in our report, because we did a big bit of research a couple of years ago on how people use metrics in our system, because we do provide automated metrics, but you can also create custom KPIs and just measure whatever you want, basically. And in 2015, hardly any reports included custom KPIs on other activities outside of coverage. And now it's something like 89% of reports have these kind of like, you know, we've set up these webinars, we put on this event for 100 media people, we've created this content. So these are what we would describe as activity-based KPIs, which AMIC, the measurement body, I think unfairly sneer at a little bit, saying they're worthless. But I think it depends what you're saying. If you're saying, look at the value we've created just based on activity KPIs, that is not good. But if you're what I think it shows is that the industry is offering a lot more value to its clients.
PR industry specifically. We're trying to be flexible. Yeah, we're trying to be flexible. And to that point, it kind of goes back to the measurement side, right? It's like a lot of, let's say, startups. We work with startups mostly. Yeah. And they'll come up to us and say, okay, well, what's the direct ROI on our sales funnel? Well, if I do this webinar, if I produce this webinar for you and you have 100 attendees to this webinar, then we do direct email marketing to them. These are all activities that we're doing that are fueling the sales funnel. I think that's relevant. You know, we have to be creative.
Yeah. And you, and the beauty is people don't even need to attend the webinar.
No.
Any registrants. So you're absolutely right. And then it's up to the brand to make use of those signups. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it becomes a sales and maybe marketing job. And then they need to provide the conversion rates back to you to say, okay, we spend $10,000, $10,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we've got 10 customers and you can work out the ROI, but it needs to work from all sides. It's not really up to the PR person completely to
Our big conundrum, right? Is how do we all play nice? I mean, I know we want to. I know every PR person I've talked to is like, if we can only get a hold of that salesperson, or if we can only integrate with their email marketing campaigns, like, what's the holdup? Why are there so many walls?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me tell you, what's your biggest challenge in terms of measurement in your agency?
I think now, with released, the metrics for coverage is pretty easy, actually. People can see the value and visibility on that. It's the metrics that the client wants, the measurement they want is customers. How can I see how many customers have come in from the PR? And to your point that you mentioned, you know, you don't see PR at just one stage. You see an article four or five times or four or five mm-hmm. different places. But that's why we've had to grab on to things like social media and webinars and content development, the blog. We're producing all this other pieces of content so we could say, hey, look, this projectively maybe mapped this much traffic. The webinar got 100 registrants. There's 100 emails for you. You know, so that it's like we're now, we're compiling like all of this data to prove our existence. And that's the difficult part. When you say, you know, you actually have to map to all these other departments, that's the truth. But they don't want to play nice with us sometimes, or the marketing lead doesn't see the connection or whatever. It's pretty quite silly. And then some of the companies, like I work with one agency or one client that gives us direct access to their sales team. And I always tell them like, hey, this is awesome because the sales team is going to give us all the right pitching angles that we can pitch to the media. And then you can see that full circle come around. Is like we're pitching the right angle, the right problem solution story. And then those customers that are interested are coming to the sales team and saying, oh, I saw you in Financial Times or I saw you in American Banker. And then we can see that full funnel. But it's really difficult to be able to do that unless everyone's willing to work together. And so that's probably one of the reasons why PR agencies are like, oh, well, we'll do your social content. That's a deliverable we can give you, or we'll do all these other things to prove our value and increase our value. But at the end of the day, you know, unless the client is really tracking metrics from Google Analytics or, you know, surveying potential clients, like where did you find us? we can't give any, like you said, there's no exact science to measure it.
Yeah. I mean, because we do demos at the moment to all of our clients, we ask them. It's the first thing we ask them.
And what are
they? Sometimes they don't remember, which is frustrating. I'm like, okay, please try and remember. But no, they generally speaking do remember where they heard about us.
Yeah. So, another PR person, I'm guessing, in your situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of referrals. Which is great. But so I think, that's why I was interested in asking you because of the kinds of clients you work with.
Yeah.
Actually, when we did our research, we found that we looked at all of the reports and all of the metrics. So there were 400,000 metrics we were looking at. What we're able to do is break down the reports into three categories, which is reports for very small companies, reports for SMEs, which is, I think, where you sit, and enterprise. And we queried basically which category has the most outcome and impact KPIs, as in, is it easier? Is it more likely you're going to be measuring the things we've been talking about, the tiny businesses, SMEs and enterprise? And the answer was SMEs, which you deal with. Actually, the reasons we've been talking about is because it's more likely you'll have a client that will say, that client said to you, which is, speak to my sales team.
Yeah.
You know, where you... got someone who set goals and understands what PR can do. And that's what we've seen. Another example is where you've actually been able to speak to the sales team and get that feedback, but it's very rare.
Yeah, it's rare because I don't, you know, I mean, these companies, everybody is siloed to some degree. So it really makes it a challenge, but I think things are changing. I don't know, the media landscape is shifting so much that, you know, there's a lot of trepidation, opportunity, you know, there's a lot of all of those things. It's like either or, you're either scared for your life or you're like, oh, there's so many things we can add to our set of services.
Yeah, definitely. I think one area of opportunity is, so we have been looking into the AI side of things.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with ChatGPT and asking very specific PR-based questions and giving it coverage and asking questions. And it was like having a pretty much world-class PR data scientist on hand to evaluate coverage.
Very cool.
So I think that there's areas where AI is probably not as welcome in PR, where it comes to things that PRs are quite protective about, like crafting a story, pitching to important journalists, where I think you shouldn't let a machine do that.
It's very precious.
But where you're forced into a situation where if you want to properly evaluate something, a large bulk of media coverage, where you're forced to look around your team and go, okay, well, put the intern on this because they're the cheapest resource.
Yeah.
And they're going to go through these 300 articles. You know, the brief's not quite right because, you know, people setting the brief maybe are very busy. You end up with very expensive, not very effective evaluation. So right. I think where the opportunity lies is actually using very, very well-trained, very accurate, well-briefed AI.
Yeah.
In a system, in an automated piece of software that can do that job, like the world-class data scientist I talked about before. Yeah. So therefore the intern or the junior member of staff is then doing the things that can't really be done as well and shouldn't really be done.
Yeah. I don't think there's a function yet in release that does this, but there is a little thing where you can like pull quotes and then highlight quotes. You know what I'm talking about? There's a little feature. And I mean, that would be great, right? If someone ran through the 300 articles to pull the most prominent quotes and the most prominent pieces and then highlight those, that would be awesome. You know,
it's doable. It's doable. That's where we're headed, basically. That's really exciting. Yeah. So I think there's big, big positive changes. You know, that might not be great. It might not be in the way that the industry expects. It might not be groundbreaking new metrics. It might just be the ability for everyone to access the best possible evaluation that just hasn't been feasible before. So just bringing the game up for the whole industry so the baseline is excellent evaluation and affordable, accessible evaluation across the board. I think that's probably where, you know, if you're looking at the next couple of years, that's where certainly we're headed. So there probably will be new metrics along the way, you know, new exciting metrics because of the amount of data that can be processed. But where I see things going is just more better and easier and cheaper access to excellent evaluation.
Yeah, I think that's kind of our industry-wide thought about AI in general, right? It's a great assistant. It's a great assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let us do the deep thinking and then, you know, we'll just use it as the assistant. I mean, and I've talked to so many people on the content side, the PR side, the marketing side. It's just that, and maybe most of us are probably a little afraid that, you know, we're not needed, but I think it's those elementary, those intern style jobs that are actually going to be on the fence, not necessarily expert level jobs, right? It's intern level jobs where maybe someone, that person shouldn't even be doing that work, you know, like let's put you to something more useful, something a little bit more thought provoking.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that about AI. It's going to take away some of the grunt work. What do you think about how PR, like you've talked again, I know you talked to a lot of PR agencies. Where are they going as far as integrating with different departments? You know, we were talking about the difficulty of really getting collaboration from other people. Are you seeing PR being absorbed into the marketing department? Are you seeing them staying separate? Do you still see a lot of PR agencies emerging? Or, you know, what is the kind of trend on the kind of work that you're seeing being produced in some of these reporting structures?
Yeah, I think that it depends on the size of the agency and their clients. So most agencies are small, very small, 3 to 5 people, quite niche, specialist agencies that are kind of relationship-based. And I'd say that generally speaking, PR there is seen as its own separate piece of work. But then when you get to the larger agencies with bigger blue chip clients, very often they'll say, okay, well, we need to integrate this reporting into a wider marketing report. Mm-hmm. But conversely, those bigger brands also have budgets. And yes, they want to find out what the value is, but they also realize that it would be, you know, not be feasible to just start doing PR. So
right.
In a way, it's like pros and cons of each. You know, yes, the bigger ones are being asked to justify their spend, but it's not, you know, I'm saying once you get a marketing director, a big brand, they kind of already realize that PR is an essential part of the mix. They might not get it entirely,
yeah,
but they wouldn't just switch off the budget entirely, because then you lose all of the relationships with your key journalists, the influencers. Your share of voice goes down to zero, which is really dangerous.
It's so dangerous. I remember during the pandemic, I'm like, if you stop talking, you don't exist. Like, that's not a good idea. It's not.
So I think that's the kind of a bit of a paradox, is that as the bigger the budgets get, kind of less they're being asked about, okay, what's your impact on sales? Because there's that kind of the level of expertise within those bigger brands and the level of experience, they kind of realize, come to the conclusion that it's valuable in its own way. So for example, we work with a big consumer tech, directly with a big consumer tech brand, and they commissioned a survey, big survey, and it was basically like, of all of the marketing activities that we do as a brand, what had the biggest impact in terms of your decision on which product to buy? And they said product reviews. Think about consumer tech. You could say the same about probably fashion as well. It's not a product review, but placements.
Right.
Who owns that? PR owns that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and there's another big clothing brand here in the UK and Europe.
I felt like that was a win for me just now.
Yeah. So there, it's not really, the nature of the questions is different. The PR team actually aren't scrabbling to demonstrate the value of their work. It's quite the opposite. They're being, the coverage is just being shared internally and eaten up, you know, because it just makes everyone's life easier. So it really depends on the type of company, you know. If you're lucky, I think the best case scenario is a client like yours, you mentioned before, where you're able to have access to everyone you need and you can show you're making a real impact, and they're quite pragmatic about that.
Yeah.
Understand that, you know, 100 emails is incredibly valuable, but a lot of realizing value depends on them, not you.
Right. And then, hey, you can share this piece of media coverage with those 100 emails to get that, right? So it's totally integrated. It's hard to come by the clients that understand a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping, you know, the more we educate people, the more they'll understand that it should be a communications group versus marketing, PR, social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really, shouldn't be so separated.
Yeah. And something we've always wondered is why does the industry not focus more on sales enablement, which you just mentioned? I've never understood this. And I've spoken to a few comms directors, and there seems to be this strange gap between PR and the sales team, even though they're kind of symbiotic and they could do each other a huge benefit.
Huge,
coverage, I read a survey, media coverage is, again, it goes back to the thing I was saying before, is the most powerful source of credibility for a brand. A third party influencer, whether that's a journalist or someone on social media vouching for that brand, is incredibly powerful. So media coverage should be lapped up by sales teams.
Yeah.
PR teams should be able to point to that and say, yeah, we're delivering media coverage, but look at the value we're giving you, your commercial team.
Yeah.
We're just feeding them all of this coverage.
It's easier to point out when you're talking about product reviews, like you were mentioning, you know, that's easier to point out. It's like, hey, look, obviously there's that direct correlation with sales. This person's reviewing it. They're going to buy it. Great. When you're talking about SaaS companies or you're talking to other B2B enterprise, they start losing that connection a little bit more, you know, because it's not as tangible as a product, you know, a product review. Mm-hmm. So
I think, we've managed sales teams here. We've had outbound sales staff. And one of the big challenges is, like, you know, you'll get prospects who are interested and then they go cold. This happens in every sales-led business. And you sit around and you go, what can we do? What can we send them? What value can we give them to get them warmed up again? And media coverage is, I think, the best possible thing you can send someone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, like, I think that is a massive untapped opportunity. And I've never been able to figure out why it's not a bigger part of what this industry does by default.
Yeah,
there's a big opportunity there.
I think there's a level of education that PR professionals have to provide. And I don't know that there's that scope to provide that level of education to you. You know what I mean? I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. There's the little gap where they don't, like, me as a PR agency, I can make a recommendation, but because I'm not an internal person, they might not take that recommendation as seriously as, like, the marketing director. So that person has to actually have that knowledge to be able to, you know, to tie everything together. It's like everything has to be perfect for that to work.
You're absolutely right. And I think on the occasions where our tool is used for sales enablement, we have a relationship with both the client sales director, the client internal, the internal comms director, and the agency, all on the same call, all wanting exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But the key thing is, actually, now I think about it, is it's driven by the sales director.
Yeah, they have to be
on and thought, I want this type, but how do I get coverage to my sales team? And then everything falls into place. I guess if it's the PR director, that's probably just not a conversation that's going to happen.
No, so, right.
Therefore, it's not aligned, which makes it quite tricky, but I still think there's a big opportunity there.
Oh, I think my wheels are spinning. How do we get to the sales team? That's what I'm going to think about. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a very, very good, now that we've dissected it, right? We can see that's where that gap.
But I think it's all in the context of demonstrating value.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so when the PR agent's sitting down at the end of the year with the PR director, if they can say, look, in addition to the actual PR stuff we've been doing, we have sent your sales team 200 pieces of top tier media coverage that they should be using to drive sales. So again, that's something you don't want to switch off.
No.
Just gives us a bit more firepower, I think.
I love that. Yeah. I just wrote down like 5 topics to write about in this conversation. So I like to, we've been talking a little bit about trends, 2024, what direction, what are we going to see? And I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you think. You know, you're talking about AI, integrating AI into deeper metrics. What are the things do you think we'll see coming up here that are emerging for the PR industry or just communications as a whole?
Yeah, so I think we've kind of covered a lot of it. I think something we get asked about a lot, which I haven't seen again and many other people talking about, is dark social. So we've done a white paper on this. We have written about this extensively. But I think when PR people think about dark social, it sounds like the dark web, which is a bit of a no-go area. But actually, it's not that at all. It's quite a simple, slow. It is just defined as platforms that don't provide data relating to how people are engaging with content. The flip side is if you're a website and you have Google Analytics and you see direct traffic that's kind of just magically appeared on your site, a lot of that traffic is coming from dark social. And all dark social is examples are WhatsApp, email, LinkedIn, Messenger, Slack, all these tools we all use every day. It's not scary at all. But actually what's happened over the last few years is a vast majority of content is now shared and engaged with on dark social platforms. And if you look at the research, most of that content is PR stuff.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means we should be talking about it and you should be trying to understand it. So we actually do estimate, when you put media coverage into our tool, how many people are viewing it in dark social and also how many people are sharing it. And again, I won't go into detail about how we do that now, but we have written about that and got transparent. So it's a ballpark estimate, but I think that is an area that is, once you explain it and demystify it, it's obvious that that's a big thing, you know? So I think that that's something we'd like to keep pushing in the next year or two and see more people talking about. And certainly a lot of the people, clients we speak to once we explain it, are kind of very interested in talking about it internally.
Yeah. Once you explain it, it's like, oh yeah, we should actually, of course we should be talking about that. Because how many times do I share articles on Slack or, like you said, LinkedIn Messenger or wherever? Yeah.
Yeah. To at least, you know, I think PR people they never want to be caught unawares, right? Or be asked about something by their client or even another agency trying to steal their client. That's not good. So at the very least, I think if we can talk about it and understand it and know what it is, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think this is such a great conversation on metrics. If you haven't checked out Releasd, releasd.com, I'm glad we finally landed at Releasd. We went through a lot of name iterations in the beginning there. But yeah, it's a great platform. If you have any other questions or comments or ideas around metrics and KPIs, please email me, ranjini@thesilvertelegram.com. Richard Witz, where is the best place for people to get a hold of you?
So you can just find us at Releasd.com and you can contact us through the website. I'm also on LinkedIn, Richard Benson. So it'd be fantastic to connect personally as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for the conversation and have a great, great new year.
You too. Thanks everyone listening as well. Appreciate it. Bye, Shannon.
All right.